We came out with a civilian ship to Gibraltar in 1958. The family and I went there all together with the children and everything, one of which was 2 or 3 years old and the other one a baby. And we took all the things we needed for the children and things and lived in a hotel there for a while until we got a married quarter.
And did you know what you were going to build?
Yes, because I'd been on the design of the same thing before I got to Gibraltar while I was at the Admiralty headquarters itself.
And where was that, the Admiralty headquarters, at that point?
1954 to 56 or something like that. I was there for 4 years, actually, more or less doing designs of underground oil fuel depots.
It all sounds, when Tim was telling me about this, and I thought this huge underground oil depot, which was, he said, the size of 2 football pitches at least.
It's bigger than that.
Really? It all sounds very James Bond somehow to me, who is a complete civilian, and I don't know, you know, just tell me a little bit about it, about the concept of it and the thinking behind it.
Well, the concept was, it was a NATO project, and it was the biggest underground oil fuel depot in the whole world. And it consisted of 5 or so long, big tunnels, some of which were divided up to deal with different types of oil. And from the tunnels, the thing was by pipeline down to No. 3 jetty on North Mole, which was going to be the tanker depot for the underground oil fuel depot. What we did was, originally the design was for it to be lined with concrete, but they decided that with the hot oil that was going in, the concrete wasn't sufficient to retain the oil. They would have leaks. So they decided later on to do steel linings into the chambers. We had to do a pre-designed test at Dover in the tunnels in the harbour of Dover to check whether the steel linings were suitable for the job they were supposed to be, because the oil that was going into these chambers was hot, and the chambers itself, the steel linings, had to be pre-stressed to avoid buckling in the hot oil. So we successfully did this design and pre-stressed the linings in Dover and checked that it was all right to do. And then the whole thing was done with steel linings on a 40-foot flat roof. The roof was 40-foot flat because the rock was so good that it would hold up without being arched or with any steel linings on the roof. The only trouble was that during the ordinary tunnelling of one of the chambers, we hit some bad rock. The bad rock was so bad that they couldn't stand up to thing. They had to be steel lined, both the ceiling and the sides steel lined to hold the rock up. So we tunnelled through that and redid the linings of it until we came to good rock again, when we started at the 40-foot out base again.
It must have been very different to Dover, because you think of Dover as chalk, and this is hard old rock. I mean,
well, it's the same. It's limestone. It wasn't the rock itself in Dover that was interesting to us. It was the steel linings of the rock, which was totally by itself a separate issue from any other tunnelling in Gibraltar. So the difference in tunnelling in Gibraltar is limestone, which is the same as chalk, but chalk, you're right, is softer and doesn't stand up to 40 foot, which it did in Gibraltar.
And why, again, I'm probably going to ask a very silly question, this is just me as an outsider, why did it have to be underground?
There was no room in Gibraltar to put it anywhere else.
So it wasn't because it was hidden?
To some extent it was. It was bomb-proof.
And just explain to me, if the oil, presumably, the oil was brought in and taken out again. It wasn't...
It was to refuel ships.
But there wasn't a direct pipeline of oil?
There was no direct pipeline. It came in by tanker.
And was it to refuel civilian ships, or all sorts of ships, presumably? Did everybody use it?
No. It was a NATO design thing for the military, for the Admiralty, basically. So it was not for civilian use at all. Today, probably it's for civilian use.
Is it still there now?
Yes.
And still being used?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic.
It's operated by Shell now. I think it's Shell.
Well, we'll talk a bit later about going back there, because that's quite interesting as well. But a little bit more about this, because it's so extraordinary. So it's this huge underground oil depot.
It's bigger by the tunnelling in there than probably all the other tunnelling that the Royal Engineers have ever done in Gibraltar by themselves. It's more tunnelling. And the excavation from the tunnels was used to lengthen the runway.
Ah, for the airport.
Yes.
Yes. Because Gibraltar is so tiny. I mean, there must be is there more underneath than on top? I think is the question I want to ask.
There's an absolute maze of tunnels. Definitely.
It's extraordinary. And was all this, when you were doing this, when you were commissioned to do this project and work on this project, were you allowed to speak about it or not?
No, it was secret. It was in the Admiralty, on the design, everything was secret. To keep it out the nose of the East people.
Yes, because it was the beginning of the Cold War. So.
It was during the war, or after the war, but it was during the Cold War, yes.
And Gibraltar, what I found from the interviewing that I've been doing over the past sort of 3 or 4 months, is one of the most integral parts of its story is, of course, its geography.
Mm.
It's strategically placed, which is why it's important and important to the
it
UK.
It controls the Mediterranean.
I mean, do you think that there was espionage going on there? Did you think that people might be able to, trying to find out what we were up to?
I think it was inevitable that they could find out, because the whole of the workforce was Spanish.
And did they come across the border every day?
They came across the border every day. As did all the workers in the dockyard itself. They were all Spanish.
Why was that? I mean, why weren't there any Gibraltarians?
Well, the Gibraltar's total population is only about 20,000, if that, I think. So they were completely outnumbered by the number of workmen working in the dockyard and surrounding works.
You'd think there'd be some, though, wouldn't you? There'd be some people.
Well, we had a drawing office there on the site which Gibraltar draftsmen in the drawing office, and some of the supervisors of the work going on were Gibraltarian as well. So we used them for supervising work. But while I'm talking about the office work at the site of the thing, I remember one day I was in the office there, which was on the edge of the beginning of the tunnels, on the face of the rock. And the north lot of apes decided to come down and visit us. And they came into my office. And I left very quickly, I can assure you. I wasn't going to argue with them.
They're quite big, aren't they? They're not tiny little monkey things.
The north face rock is separate from the south face tribe.
Oh, are they?
They're completely separate. They're not visited much by the tourists. The tourists go to the south face, apes, and they're used to tourists, although they're pretty good at pinching the wipers off car windscreens and things like that. But the north face lot are quite separate, and they don't mix with the tourists at all, or didn't in those days.
So just going back to the workforce again, so generally the Gibraltarians would be working would be office workers, and the Spanish were more manual labour.
Mm.